Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started. Total madness as we find out the purifiers are sided with Reva, unbeknownst to them. But let me tell you, if we're shot through the heart, John's the one to blame. Don't blink, you just might miss it because we're going to burn some sage real quick. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome to the Gifted After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Of course, we're talking about Season 2, Episode 14, Calamity.
With a capital M.
With a capital M. Woo! Oh, man, this was an episode that really pissed us off in all the best of ways. I'm Stephen Lemieux, talking about the episode tonight. Never alone. I am joined by my amazing co-host, Stephanie Sabra.
What's up, guys? I'm really pissed.
And my co-host that always agrees or disagrees with everything I say, Tehran.
Tehran is in the building.
I'm not sure what kind of day we're having today, so we'll see.
Pissed.
I want to talk about overall thoughts because obviously the first thing at the top of our mind is going to be Andy and Lauren's relationship. No, I'm just kidding. Blink! The big thing they did with Blink. Holy crap! All right, just right off the bat, do you think she's actually dead, Tehran?
I mean, yes.
If you're watching, Tehran's Italian
if
for
she's
a moment.
Not, listen, if she is not dead, I'm expecting a fire mixtape from her. She got shot 9 times, twice in the face. The only person who I know who survived this was 50 Cent.
Mm-hmm.
Steph.
I feel like she's dead from what I saw, but the outrage on Twitter is real. The outrage I feel in my soul is real, and I just don't think that Clarice needs to die. I've thought of every reason why she could have died for the plot, and it does not. It's not enough. It's not justice.
So let's go through 13 reasons why Clarice should not die.
I'm going to write that
another season.
Tonight.
Another season.
If we get another season, she couldn't have died. But if she's dead, I feel like there's no other season.
If she's dead, it really feels like there's no season 3.
I agree.
I don't think they'd kill off her.
A major, major character, a major plot line, a major story.
A major draw to the show.
100%.
Like, it's
one
not
of
like
our favorites.
Like, I feel like they could kill off Reed. They could definitely kill off Jace. They could kill off Reva. They could kill off
Sage.
Erg pretty early.
Kill off
Sage. They could definitely kill off Sage.
I miss her shoulder more than I miss her.
They killed Dreamer or Syrup in the last episode of the last season.
Slime guy.
I don't know. I was kind of sold on Slime guy. I mean, when they killed Slime guy, I was like, all
I'm
right,
still not
no
over
season
Shatter.
Three. Shatter was cool. And we saw Porcelain when they escaped, but we haven't brought back Porcelain ever since the random scene where all the collars came off. We haven't seen too many mutants when I think there would have been a lot more after the collars came off. Anyway. All right, so the theory going around online is that she got absorbed into her own vortex. She didn't fall back in the sewer. She just got whisked away into Neverland. She's got to find the ruby slippers and tap them 3 times and then realize, oh, crap, I got shot 6 times.
In the heart, too. She got shot in the heart.
She's the 50 Cent of the Gifted Universe.
Yeah. She is.
Universe.
I mean, she didn't get shot in the face, but that's the 50 Cent.
No, routine. When you're watching it, she gets shot right here.
Shoulder,
right
side.
Here. It
like
goes
10
out
times.
Right there, which is where your heart is. Which, unless she, like, randomly evolved through Omega Mutant and opened a portal so the bullet would, like, enter behind her heart and then exit the portal after her heart. Or we don't know the physiology of Blink. Maybe inside of her are tons of portals and dimensional rifts and sent the bullet outside of her without actually harming her as much as... There's a lot of writing tools they could do, is all
yeah.
I'm saying.
If they wanted to bring her back. But as of right now, she was shot. She's dead. And I just want to point out, when we're talking about this with such outrage, is because we actually loved this episode so much. As Steven pointed out, it made us so upset in all the good ways. In
yeah.
all the good ways.
You should be pissed when a character gets killed.
A character that you like so much.
Allegedly.
Steph will never get over this.
Steph is upset.
Because... Think about as so many times they literally could not have done anything without someone who could portal. And she's a great actress. And as I see on Twitter, the only Asian actress, I think Asian American actress we have. So I don't know. There's a lot of reasons Steph is pissed. This,
I'm not going with the diversity factor because if one thing, The Gifted is extremely diverse.
I'm sure they can introduce someone new.
My whole thing is simply because this was a character, regardless of race, culture, ethnicity, anything, we loved so much. We actually liked her.
I got a great backstory.
I was waiting for the Erg plug. I was shipping the Erg and Blink. Well, yeah, of course.
We could have had that romantic scene where he carved an M into her face.
It was going
to
happen.
Yeah. Just to let everyone know, we're going to be breaking down the episode after our Blink discussion because it's just so fresh. We're going to talk about the Inner Circle. We're going to talk about Marcos and John, Lauren, Reed, and Kate. Of course, Reva and Ryan, everything going on with that. Clarice and the Morlocks. That food pyramid is definitely a little bit soggy now. As well as the siege that happens in the end of it. And that cool whirlwind mutant that mysteriously stopped doing stuff halfway through the episode.
For no reason.
Did you realize that?
After being the most effective tool, just quit.
Stop.
I don't know if they attacked. It didn't feel like they got the best of him. As far as I could tell, he got the best of them in every way. But aren't we talking about one more thing in this episode? Capri Suns.
We are talking.
Get those kids some new Capri Suns. Get those kids some new Capri Suns. Get those kids some new Capri Suns.
I was going to bring it up naturally later, Tara.
I feel like we have to talk about it.
But we have a new soundbite.
You were so excited.
Which is so perfect for this show.
So excited.
I want to cut to the chat because the chat has lots of feelings. And when there's a character that dies on a show, we got to kind of go to it. Let's just say Marvin Richardson says her death can change John and he does something big. Well, let's just say he is the direct cause of her death, and I will not forgive John for that stupid
just
moment.
Just him showing up when you weren't supposed to show up. You weren't supposed to be there. Like, you did the extra. When you do extra, extra happens, and that's what happened.
Every time he saw her, it's like, hey, we're in this urgent moment. I want to have a serious conversation.
I want to talk about it right now.
Let's talk about it right now.
I feel like we should see other people.
And then she opens her portal, and lo and behold, John's there, and they just like Beavis and Butthead stare at each other for like, and then she gets shot 6 times. I'm telling you, 50 Cent.
That's why I'm dropping. I'm shipping that mixtape.
Don't
Fire.
Blink. You might just miss it. Let's
escape
see.
Escape or die trying.
Black Magic says they wouldn't believe her. They already made up their mind that she was guilty, and they can't. Oh, they're talking about Inner Circle. Ivan Soto says, Steph, I'm not sure Clarice is dead. I just heard the showrunner say Clarice fell into one of her portals. That sounds like an insult. Go fall into one of your own portals.
And Nicholas Kelly said
about their moms.
From the comics, it is known that Blink is a descendant from the comics. So I'm hoping that when she comes back, she will have her pink skin and her portaling javelin / daggers.
If that is the plan, I'm all in.
Yeah.
But she needs to have an entire personality change.
Yeah.
Because when a mutant evolves to Omega or whatever the next form is, they should have a personality change. Because she can't just be like in love with John. I'd say if she's like, if the next time we see her, let's say we get season 3, she's going after John and she's like, I need to kill you. I'd be all in.
What?
I'd be all in.
For some reason, you hate John.
I hate John in this episode especially.
You hate John and you hate John in this episode, and it has to do with his pretty hair and his pretty face.
But I'm jealous.
I know.
But I also think that he was very dumb in this episode.
He was. And his cheekbones didn't make up for it.
It did not.
And the moment, absolutely correct. Steven, while we were watching, Steven definitely was like, John, why are you there? And then literally, as you said that, half a second later, Clarice gets shot 6 times.
Kind of his fault.
It is his fault because he was doing that relationship thing where this is the worst time to discuss whatever it is. Your feelings are not the priority right now. I need to do this. And we've all been in that situation, especially anyone that's possibly a performer or anyone. There's a sense of urgency where you're doing something and someone wants to talk to you about something. It's like, I get why this is important and we need to talk about your feelings. Not right now. Let's not have feelings right now.
Honestly, right now, can we just get these kids some new Capri Sun?
Let's get them.
Get those kids some new Capri Sun.
Let's move
get
on,
get those
y'all.
Kids some new
We're
Capri
gonna go
Sun.
And talk
get those kids some new Capri Sun.
It's never going to end. Let's talk about the Inner Circle. So as we find out today, because we didn't know at all beforehand, that the compound is only 98% secure.
Only 98% impenetrable. What does that even mean?
They wanted to give her a lasting line before.
Like,
she
even Purell is 99%. Like, condoms are like
99.9%.
But no, this compound is 98%.
Art compound is only 98%. And you know what that 2% is? They don't have freaking cameras in their compound. I'm not saying you need cameras in the bathrooms. Okay, let's give them some privacy. Not even in the bedrooms. But you're telling me there's no cameras in the compound itself.
How do we find out who's the spy? Well, let's just track logins on the computer, because obviously seeing who actually logged into the computer doesn't matter. Actually seeing who snuck into other people's rooms doesn't matter.
PetSmart has cameras. Like, you can't shoplift from PetSmart. Where are you going to hide the iguana?
Tehran knows from
experience.
Trust
me, I know for a fact. I've tried.
We've bailed him out of jail.
PetSmart has cameras. And yet, this compound, state of the art, doesn't have any cameras whatsoever. And that's what makes... That alone is at least 20% of impenetrability. Is just not having cameras.
Impenetrable.
Who's breaking in? Where are they? We can't tell because we don't have freaking cameras.
Well, luckily they don't have slimy McSlimeserson who can just rub the walls and see stuff.
And see what's going on.
Worst roommate ever. Worst. I'm going to be honest, like, you know when he's used your milk and you know when he's like using your laundry detergent, which is the good thing.
And if you have to share a bathroom with that guy, come on.
He has to buy his own toilet paper. I've had it.
Steph Sabra.
All the toilet paper is soggy. It's like the worst.
Disgusting.
It's absolutely disgusting. But they find out who the spy is, which is obviously the character that they've been underutilizing this entire season, because Sage is kind of a badass in what she can do. And then they're just like, let's give... Like, honestly, I really... And I'm not even gonna say that it was bad writing or anything, because I think the writer's doing a great job with what they're working with. But I'm just upset because I think... It would have been a really powerful play to have Lorna team up with Sage to do some of this stuff, because Sage was on the good guys team in season one, and it was kind of out of character for her to go to the inner circle in the first place. And then if she died, at least she, like, died
with a purpose.
With some kind of purpose. Because I'm sorry, but Lorna's, like, magnetic thing logging into the computer does not make any sense at all.
You know, we had talked about it, and Steven brought it up, where it would have been cool if Sage was sending stuff to Evangelina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that would have been so
because
cool.
Because we're not getting the rest of this loophole. That Evangeline loophole. We're waiting for that.
Yeah.
It would have been a great tie-in, a nice way to bring it up.
And make it be that Lorna was a double agent, but so was Sage. And maybe if Sage was also the spy, that would have been a really cool twist.
Doesn't make sense that we finally find out how Sage's brain works and that it's all basically code. Mm-hmm. But you try to read her brain, but you don't read Lorna's to know that she's literally been doing this plot the entire time.
You don't
time.
Even need to read Lorna's brain. She's acting suspicious the whole time. Well, maybe he just went out. Well, no, nothing ever happened to him. No, he's probably just sleeping. Maybe she's acting
I'm
so
I'm
going to
call her 2% milk, because she's obviously the 2% that they are not penetrable by. Lorna is now 2% milk. I actually made Steph laugh for once. Let's get these kids some new Capri Sun.
Get those kids some new Capri Sun.
Before we move on to the next topic, let's just remind everyone at home that you are the rest of our panel. We thank you all for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. While you're there listening to iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, share, subscribe, and give us that 5-star rating I feel that we deserve. But hopefully you do too. Of course, leave comments below. We love to hear from you. We do write back. And we read your comments on air. Join the chat. And we give you shout-outs. Thank you so much for being a part. And if you don't like notifications, just turn them right off. They go off without us. AfterBuzz means so much to all of us. And thank you for allowing us to have this. We look forward to more and more shows with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to, like, if they find out whenever they find out if they have a season 3 or not, we're going to get Dreamer, Shatter, all the Morlocks, Sage just walking out of the mist singing 525,600 minutes or reasons for Blink to still be here. Because, man, like, a lot of these characters are just being underutilized. Sage, people in the chat are upset because Sage was also a character that's being underutilized. Like, what a cool power that could have been at play this entire season. If Blink is dead, I'm really upset.
Sage could have hacked into the computer and just stole the money that they wanted to get, by the way.
Yeah.
She's Sage. If we're saying that she's that powerful a mutant where it's ones and zeros in her mind, where she's the most powerful mech tech mutant, we're looking at someone who is almost Omega level.
I think so. Code is not all ones and zeros. That's just binary, though. So yeah. She just speaks in computer, speaks in binary, or
but
thinks in binary.
In every way. Like, that's what they were trying to insinuate, is that her mind is perfect, is basically a computer.
I just think she could have, like, given the Brotherhood more resources while she was there. Like, 100%. They didn't have to be in a bank vault that was empty. But let's move on.
She could have also fixed the last 2%, because now they have no chance.
yeah, there's no chance they catch Lorna.
The one person who did everything is now dead.
What'd you think of Reva's way of killing her, just turning her vision white? Like, is that a terrifying vision of death where just everything goes white and you start seeing spots, or is that just what she did?
I thought she basically
shut
her brain down.
Yeah, have you ever been punched in the face so hard you see stars? It was kind of like that, and they were doing that, and it just blanked out her vision. Or when you stand up too quickly and it just like goes white, they were basically doing that, and Reva shut down her brain.
It's better than what the Frost sisters could have done.
I mean, it's better than how they killed Andy's girlfriend.
Andy killed him.
Or how his girlfriend killed all those people in the building.
Like, yeah.
That was a cool way.
I don't know if Reva's way of killing is torturous. It doesn't seem like it is. It just seemed like it was torturous.
It seemed her, the amount of pain she went through right before.
She was dying.
No, it was the pain.
She's like, I've gone five lines this season.
It hurts them. Yeah, she did.
I mean, what do you think her plan is? Because if she gets in front of an audience in Congress or something, she could wipe out everyone in the room with a microphone. So, like, what's her end game? So, because right now she's like, we're going to take over Washington. Is she trying to get in touch with the president? Is she trying to get a national television appearance where she can use her powers on everyone who's watching the TV? Like, I don't know. Things to think about until we get to predictions. Let's move on to Marcos and John. We see that Marcos is shot. He's doing okay. He's doing better to be expected than Glow did.
By the way, they stole that. I don't remember her being called Glow.
They did. Where would we have known that?
Because we make up stupid names.
We just make up.
No, we didn't. Like we knew that was a comic book character.
If Marcos was called Flashlight, if they made a joke where he was like one of the mutants was like whatever Flashlight, I'd be like, hey,
throw me that $30,000 script. Yeah,
let me get
I'll take that. I'll take those residuals. Yeah, I don't know. So let's move on, Marcos and John. There's not much here. It's just like, yeah, we got to get the band back together and help them. But Clarice hates you. We got to help them anyway. Even though the Morlocks hate us, yeah, we're going to help them because they're mutants. Okay, cool. Band's back together. Reva and Ryan.
But Marcos understands what John's going through with the loss of
Clarice. Oh, for sure.
They have to help them.
And that was really sweet. That brotherly moment.
Yeah.
That, look, all joking aside, that connection that they have and that they're still doing all the stuff despite that it's basically only them two left. And they believe so much and it's their purpose so much that they're still going through with it. And the fact that with guys, we don't really talk about relationships and how we feel a lot. Mm-hmm. So just that mutual bro understanding where it's, I get it. And when John says, oh, she called you and he felt some type of way. That was all real. That was strong.
100%. No, 98%.
It was 98% good.
98% real.
Yeah.
So Reva and Ryan, what did you guys think of this twist? Because we saw it two episodes ago.
Loved it.
Or was it at the end of last episode? It's been two weeks.
Yes.
So
where they get, and then he gets out the I-8.
And we find out that he's just like this two-bit, like,
salesman,
podcaster kind of dude doing his own radio show, jumping on the anti-mutant train. He's like a failed Tommy Lahren on the Purifier side.
But we also see the things that he's done. Basically, when she steps in, she calls him out on who he is, what he is, and it works. He's run, quote unquote, for Congress, came in sixth, which is probably out of six people. You got 2% of the vote. He's basically tried to be important, and then she calls it out where she's like, no, you're just trying to be important, and now this is your new way to be important. Christie. You're working in one of these shacky radio stations. I can make you
leaky
important.
Ceilings.
Exactly. And that was such a strong flashback. It gave me such a strong perspective on who Ryan is as a person. And I really like that. I want to know more about this.
And he's on her payroll, which we definitely know now. So he controls the purifiers and she controls
him
through Poxy.
She's definitely in charge.
Yeah. So we find out that her plan, it seems, and shout out to the chat for pointing this out, is that she wants to create more and more divisiveness between humans and mutants because it fuels her dream to rule a mutant-led homeland. And the more that the humans chase after the mutants, the more the mutants will flock to her banner when she does
desperate. It. Desperate, yeah.
Social commentary, by the way. That's definitely a political theory of enemy syndrome where you create your own enemy in order to nationalize.
I mean, we've all heard that.
And globalization often.
Yeah, and we can even bring up the declassified documents from 39 years ago when they came up with a plan to bomb American towns to glorify the, what was it, Cuban Missile Crisis, I think it was, to invade Cuba. Yes. They had plans presented to the president that were like, hey, if we do this, we'll have a reason to attack Cuba.
We'll have
attack
the
Cuba.
Support of people, and people will be on board with this.
So that's why a lot of people believe that 9/11 was something because of those declassified documents. And I'm not saying an opinion either way, but I'm saying, like, these are things that have happened, which is where a lot of these conspiracy theories and where a lot of people's, you know, differing opinions on the matter stem from.
Creating divisiveness. I mean, we see it now politically, where this divisiveness is creating people to be more radicalized, whether left or right, conservative or liberal, Democrat or Republican. We're seeing that as we speak.
People view war as an opportunity, just as chaos as an opportunity.
100%.
Because when everything's working perfectly, they can't rise higher quicker.
When there's blood in the streets, buy property.
I mean, that's...
That's a quote.
Yeah, it is a quote. Yeah. And it's unfortunately true because a lot of people get rich off war. Reva is one of them. Let's move
war
on.
War Profiteer Reva, who I love.
To Jace's mission, which Ryan sends him out with all the purifiers, gives him all the same guns. Costco was running a deal this week.
It was great guns, too. Get these P90s.
Get these P90s, run into the sewers. They're waterproof. They're great. They won't clog up on you.
They don't jam.
But you get two grenades of ex-hallucinogen.
And that's it.
That's it. Costco had only two left. They were out. People were buying them up beforehand. So Jace gets sent on this mission where he doesn't know if he's going to live or die, but Ryan doesn't really clue him in how dangerous it's going to be. But he's like, they're monsters. Yeah. They're the worst of the
worst.
But
that's Reva's advice. Don't tell them about the dying part. And
I hate Jace. I'm sorry. I can't keep it in another second. I know he's so... I kept saying the entire time I want him to die, and I know that he can't because he's too polarizing of a character and he's important. But I cannot.
He's not enough like Blink.
Stand him. Oh my god!
And that's how
every
good a character
time
he is.
He does something like this, he goes and finds something that reminds him of why he's fighting for it in the first place, and realizes he's not in the right mission. It looks like he has that come to moment, but then he does it again.
He's addicted to looking like he's going to be a redeemable character.
Yeah.
It's like he's literally the guy that goes and like kicks a puppy and then like looks at the sad puppy. He's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And then he goes kicks a puppy again. Like,
it's like the Struckers acting like they're going to tell each other the truth of what's happening,
or,
and they don't.
Lauren or Kate acting like she cares about Lauren more than Andy when she really cares about Andy more than Lauren.
Yeah. And cares about Capri Suns.
Let's get these kids some new Capri Suns.
Thank you.
So
I think one thing we need to realize about Jace is the ultimate villain. The fact that you hate him so much.
Hate.
Despise.
Such a good actor.
But that's
Kobe
the concept.
Great,
this is so strong. It's.
I still think they're going to give him a redeeming moment.
When he
I still
wasn't
think
there,
they're
of
going
course
to.
It is. And I think it's going to come between finding out about Ryan and Reva and finding out that he's been a pawn the whole time.
And the teddy bear is going to lead to it.
But. He's such a good when he wasn't there 1 week, we missed not having him mess things up.
Yeah, it's fun to see him just be kind of the dick.
And he's so smart too. He's the only one who has that inside knowledge because he's been duped so many times.
It's like all the purifiers are at like a middle school level and he's like, I'm high school.
Yeah.
Don't shoot that one. He's shooting it back at us. Well, what do we do if we don't shoot him?
Shoot
the other ones. Shoot that one.
But he also was the one responsible. Let's go through the wall. He's clever. He's quick. He's smart. He's trained. Honestly, I'm really a fan of his character.
What do you think of Ryan saying, after this, you could be the head of Sentinel Services?
I think you've predicted that before. Yeah. I know you've thought that he has redemption, but I've also thought on the other side that he could get way worse. I see the teddy bear being kind of, I don't know, we say this every time, maybe the moment he starts to realize he destroyed actual
his
people's
daughter
lives.
Had a teddy bear
so,
like that.
I think we still have to tie this back to 7/15. We're either going to get a conclusion this season or
a possible next
possibly
season.
Not get one. Hopefully we get a season 3. But I feel like every episode, just like a big thready sweater is being laid out in front of Jace. And he can just pull at them and he just refuses to.
Unravel the whole thing.
And like all he needs to do is just like actually pull at one. And I think finally, seeing that there are kids here, he's not going to just leave the sewers. He's going to look around. You're going to see that it was just normal people living there. There's not going to be guns. There's not going to be ammunition and stuff like that. And if he pulls that thread, he's going to find out about Ryan. He's going to find out about Reva. And I think Jace is the linchpin to kill Reva this season.
I think Jace is definitely the one that discovers the Reva-Ryan connection.
Yeah, I hope he follows Ryan and sees him meeting up with Reva one time, which is something he is, I think, in his character to do.
Or do you think he goes to his wife at all? Do you think we see his wife again?
I do. When he finds out. Phone call.
If we don't see Blink again and we see his wife again.
Oh, my God.
But I feel like his wife's kind of his compass and she's been gone. I think if she lets him see her and he, like, lays it all out of, like, what's going on and she gives him advice, he might be able to, like, put things together and find out what's actually going on. Whether or not he's an asshole is whatever. But, like, I feel like she's going to be the thing that brings him back to the whatever his true north is.
I hope so. I mean, I think that would be a good way to still move the plot forward in a different direction, but makes him less horrific.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
He wasn't the one who shot Blink, though.
They all were?
Yeah. It was
he
like an all you could...
He definitely was leading that charge.
All you could shoot Blink buffet.
He capped Blink. I feel like it was Jace's bullet, like, per se. Yeah. The one that went through the heart and went through Steph Sabra's heart as well was Jace.
Jace is just like, all right, so let's shoot this dude, let's just shoot him full of bullets. Okay, got that out of the way. Now let's shoot this chick.
This
okay,
gorgeous
cool.
human that's opening a portal and has matching hair to her portal color.
I'm interested to see next week if her body's there or not.
We'll find out. I mean,
yeah, because we didn't get to see that.
If she goes into a vortex, it'd be very cool. I'd be very happy about that.
So Clarice does make a good case for the Morlocks getting involved in the war before all of their people are killed. We also have to mention the booby-trapped bodies that they leave out there. Hey, they're retreating. Go check out the bodies before they're fully out of the sewer. Great. There's grenades on them.
What are those? I need to know why the Morlocks have the worst, most useless powers. Slime ball. Like I saw
someone who couldn't even walk. I'm like, you're already completely just alienated from society and you can't walk.
No, at that point,
either.
you're not even a mutant. You're just someone who's paraplegic and they've confused you. Like, we need, like...
like Charles Xavier and Logan?
We just need something. You need to have... Why are those guys there with no powers? Why were they the ones sent out if they're not tactically... sound.
I mean, you had Blowhard, right?
Yeah, Blowhard was still at the camp. He didn't go out. Blowhard stayed still, and then Blowhard, who takes 5 seconds to blow hard.
No, the guys who went out to go investigate had powers.
What were their powers?
Well, they didn't get to use them because the X grenades.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How about you get someone that has tactical knowledge and knows, hey, are these bodies booby-trapped, these suspiciously laid out bodies in perpendicular pathways? Let's find out. Let's just, oh, look, I'm Sensor. And Sensor's powers is to sense danger. Something. I just wish the Morlocks had more useful powers. It's like every Morlock is useless.
So why do they even have to turn around?
They're more locks,
not
more useless.
They're not less locks. They're more locks.
The good side just never knows how to allocate resources.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I bet you they would have known what to do with Sage, though. Sorry.
Hey, I mean, Erg probably would have used Sage a lot better than that.
Ooh,
the
way he used Blink. All right, we'll get to that.
Body shield. Hey-o. God, John, you son of a... All right, let's let's move on to Lauren, Reed, and Kate. God. So Lauren's still in the worst of ways. She's really thirsty. Kate realized she needs to get this kid some new Capri Sun.
Oh, my God.
And... we lost it.
we lost our privileges.
There we go. And ironically, when I said that, watching the show, the next scene, she's like holding a glass up to Lauren's mouth. She's drinking it. So they have to decide whether they're going to snuff out the light of Lauren. Like, the way they say it is like, do parents really have such deep conversations?
Mine
like,
for sure do.
Can we just take our child and snuff out its light? Or do we let him not go to the dentist? Like,
I mean, it was kind of deep. However, let's not forget that it leads to a lot.
Yeah.
It leads to a lot of, finally, we get half-truths again.
Yep. So after...
why don't they just communicate?
We've had this
after keeping secrets and having it blow up in their face...
Every time. And promising that they will not keep secrets.
And learning from Lauren... this is the second time Reed and Kate have been like, I'm learning from Lauren.
They're on that Jace. It's the Jace syndrome.
Warum ist she speaking Deutsch?
And she's speaking German in her sleep because of this box. They won't get rid of the box.
Why is she doing that? How would she learn German? Well, she found a secret German note in the music box. Why didn't you tell me? Well, I don't know why I didn't tell you. I just kind of
hanging out. I'm addicted to it, too. That's why.
What do they do all day? If they're not talking to each other about the important shit, they're literally in that apartment. They're just hanging out, doing nothing all day.
Yeah.
Like, is Lauren just in the bed, like, sleeping, and Kate and Reed are just in the other room,
staring,
like,
at each other?
Doing other, yeah, like, whatever, making another Andy or something?
They're
like,
clearly not. That's one
making
thing I got.
Another
they're
Andy.
They're not anything of that nature. I think the connection between the family is getting a lot more intense.
Yeah.
It is missing something. That something is clearly Andy, where we don't have the same family dynamic. We see the change in your favorite character, Capri Sun Mom.
Yep.
And we're seeing her change. I don't know if it's for the better or for the worse. What do you guys think?
I think it's for the better. She's finally, like, giving up the fact
that... You're just saying that because you like the more intense her.
She drove a car through cops and shot at them with a Desert Eagle.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else she could have done. It would have been so stupid, season one, Kate, to trust the government or whatever forces are against mutants. Right now, in this timeline, it does not work.
Sarah Connor?
This is, like, aside from, like, having when Laura attacks the cops, this is, like, the time where she's like, no, we're not going to negotiate. This is the first time she's like, no. Like,
she stepped up.
Finally.
Because she was in a car with useless mutants and her daughter who had no powers. So it's like she was the most powerful one at that time. You know why? Because she had a goddamn gun.
She had a gat. Not even a gun.
Right?
That was a gat. A Desert Eagle 5.0.
Right? I'm surprised that gun didn't end up in the back seat hitting somebody in the head.
Exactly, with that
the
recoil.
The kickback on that thing, holy
the recoil of that is no
the
joke.
The bullet hole in her windshield was like...
huge.
Yeah.
And she shot out and shot at the cops and then she drove. And you know what? This is a new Kate that we haven't seen. This is a Kate with
she gives
balls.
New meaning to Capri Sun. She's stopped in that car, and she needed a line delivery, though. She needed to be like, we're not negotiating. We're going to get these kids some new Capri Sun.
We're going to need you to be able to do the cue, Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan, you're really letting me down here.
You are. Big time. It's too late.
It's way too late.
It's way too late. It's disappointing,
you
actually.
You know what? Cancel the show. We're done. No, guys, thank you so much for tuning in.
We're not talking about the gift.
No, thank you so much for tuning in. We've got 47 people in the live chat right now. This is definitely a divisive episode of With Blink and everything going on with Jace. Please hit that thumbs up right now if you're watching this video live or not live. We tape it Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which if you're on the East Coast is 10 p.m. Eastern. And you can hit that thumbs up right now, or you can hit it later. You can hit it anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Just like John wished Clarice would say to him.
you can hit it anytime. You're a bad person.
I'm a very bad person.
Bad
but
person.
Also comment below after the stream is over because we can read and reply to your comments if
and we
you
do.
Don't get them in the live chat. Because so many of you guys are talking in the live chat. Black Magic 99, Christian P, ABK88, Ivan Soto, Nicholas Kenji, Renji 90998, Alyssa Ramos, Mesa Diani, some new names in here. I really enjoy it. Go to iTunes and rate us 5 stars and leave us a comment on iTunes and I'll shout you guys out. We haven't
Please.
Got a new review
We do
yet.
Have one.
Do we?
From Nick Dreamer, which
you just
is
here.
Nicholas.
I read it.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
From January 22nd?
Yeah, you didn't show up to the episode and we read it.
We read
well,
it. That
I mean,
was really good.
Shout outs deserve 2 shout outs.
We
so I'm cried. Not going to apologize.
Can we get this girl some new Capri Sun, please?
I'm clearly
get
running low.
Great. Shout out to that Nicholas lad.
Nicholas Dreamer.
Nicholas Dreamer.
You get 2.
So let's go ahead and talk more about this German box that makes her sleep German talk and how Reed has decided that he's going to stop taking the serum as well.
Real quick, are we not discussing, no one's going, hey, why does this do this? What's its actual purpose? Is this possessing us
Nobody,
in some
no,
way?
No, not at all.
They're just going with it.
It's all good. Yeah. We all have that, like, music box that does that.
No,
asked.
We don't. The haunted music box that allows you to speak German. Let's have some conversations.
It's
Let's
a,
have a little dialogue.
It's a Heirloom. It is a Heirloom. It is German Heirloom! Pass it down, generations. Hi-alum.
But that's so real. Like, honestly, we need to have a conversation about this box. We need to find out about the box, why this box is doing this. What? If that has to do with whatever it is inside it, that metal that's special, that
possibly
the with the hair.
The jeweler was
it had the hair in it. Yeah, we got
to
do something with the hair. We need
money for it.
We need the Fenris sword.
The sword.
The sword.
We do need the sword.
The sword could have saved Blink.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, let's do something with it because that storyline is like
tanking.
I wish that storyline would get dropped in a portal. Unless it gets interesting. Come on, do something with it. Like, have Reva be like, what? And have things blow up.
And I want to remind everyone, we love the episode. We are just going to talk about the things that
could bother us.
Everything. We love the show.
No, seriously. It was a great episode, and it made us feel things, which is rare. And I haven't felt anything for The Walking Dead in like 5 seasons, so it's like good to still feel things for this show.
Deserves a season 3, I'll tell you that.
What do we think of Reed's decision to stop taking the serum? Do you think he's going to die? Do you think he's going to turn into the Blaze from the Fantastic Four? And do you think he's going to be connecting with his children in dreams after he survives, if he does?
If there's a season 3, he won't die. If there's not, I think he will die. I really don't want him to die. I've always wanted him to power up and just, like, learn how to control his power, his abilities. And I think this conversation might be gearing towards that he would just really mentally try to.
I think he's gonna like take out an entire city block when he like survives, because I don't think the powers are gonna kill him, but I think he has to like get all that energy out.
He'll be like a volcano,
something like that.
He has power blue balls. I get that.
I wonder,
I hope lava does something.
I'm really curious if Reed has the power to get through 98% of the impenetrable wall. Yeah. And Lorna can take care. 2% milk can take care of that last 2%. Together, they form the full 100.
Mm-hmm. Does he join CW with his Sorry. Children and they make CW. It more powerful? We'll see.
I'd like to see like Lorna and Andy meeting in their dreams and just Reed like popping his head over and being like, "Yo,
I'm here too. I'm in the land right? now like, that my powers are activated. I can
creepy.
Be a part of this.
Like, I'm
come back with us, son.
I'm a Strucker too.
And I would love for Kate to have powers too."
Me too.
That would be great, because when she's like, I'm the only non-mutant, so now I've been practicing, I've been working out, I've been training because I'm a non-mutant, I was like, man, get girl some new Capri Suns.
That's why.
Get those kids some new Capri Suns.
The German note letter is actually the recipe for Capri Sun.
That's all it is.
Lauren's just like reading it in German in her dreams, like, man, this drink is going to taste so good when we make it.
It is.
Is it going to be Cherry Blast, or is it going to be Cool Blue? I wish I knew more flavors.
We got to get through Erg.
I mean, there's not much to go with. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I did Erg. Erg not listening to Blink every single step of the way. That was so aggravating. Like, the one person, she's been right. So pay attention. Stop. And honestly, it felt a little misogynistic. I know Steph's all about the feminism movement and strong. I felt like that was misogynist. Just not listening to the superior tactical female who you've brought into the mold, who clearly has more knowledge on them and what's going on than you do.
He doesn't listen to anyone.
Yeah, but specifically not to her.
Yeah. I've lost where you're talking about. How Erg just is not listening to Clarice at all.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. They're dumb. They're the worst. They're in sewers. Like, all they know is to rub slime on themes and make illusions.
You haven't been around. You haven't seen what's going on. She's giving you intel. And if you were a real leader, you would have figured that out.
I like how she walked into him, like, shirtless. And he's like, oh, it's you.
Yeah, come on in, baby. We were shipping
that.
That
was going to be something. And then Erg doesn't. You're bulletproof. So how about you kind of cover the people who aren't bulletproof? How about you be, I know he tried to draw their fire, but at that point he needs to be like, guys, duck, everyone duck. They'd like stand up and get shot like the little whack-a-moles.
Yeah, like what, he had enough time to say you cowards, but not like stop to his actual teammates.
To his teammates. Let's do something tactical here.
Alyssa Ramos in the chat said Erg was erging me. I agree.
Hey, yeah, Erg. Also, great pickup line. Let's do something tactical here. So let's move on. Let's make up a special segment on the spot. Let's cut to the Jace. So if Jace awakened mutant powers, what would it be and how would he still be a bad guy?
My Jace mutant power call is that he has the power of unlimited stubbornness where he doesn't learn from any lesson.
He's
ever.
Already a man. Move
he
on
just
to Steph.
Always burns his.
Wait,
you know,
if he had
funny.
A power,
he burns his hands on the stove over and over again.
He never learns like, from his
never
mistakes.
Learns, or from other people's mistakes either. He just never learns. Jace.
Oh all right, gosh. Steph, what's Jace's power?
He's good with me. I don't know. He can make plans.
He can make plans. I'm going to say that his mutant power is that he can detect all mutants, except he won't believe he's a mutant, so he won't use it.
He won't.
He'll, like, refuse so to believe that he's a mutant. Even though he can just know, like, Unbreakable style, yeah. who's a mutant. He's like, nah, I'm not a mutant, so I couldn't know that. I won't do it. Nah.
He's tactical.
I'm guessing. I don't even know.
I have to see them with my eyes from the corner of a truck that I randomly run into, even though they should be 3 hours away. But no, Washington's 5 hours away from Baltimore. Guys, that is our show. Thank you for tuning in. Where can we find you all on Twitter?
Find me at I Am Tehran all across the board. And, of course, I'd love to read your comments on what you think Jace's mutant's powers are. Yeah. We respond to everything. And I host and panel on a slew of AfterBuzz after shows.
Yes, you do, actually. I'm Steph Sabra. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux. Also, Steph downplays herself, but she also produces Maria Menounos' podcast, Conversations with Maria, which comes out every Monday.
Oh, yeah,
where you
baby.
Can hear her thoughts on lots of things in the intros and the outros. So check that out for sure. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week for The Gifted Season 2, Episode 15, entitled Monsters. But I do want to plug something really quick. Guys, I host the Deadly Class After Show, and tomorrow night we have Maria Gabriela de Faria in, and she is awesome. If you guys love Deadly Class, you
That's
should
awesome.
Check that out.
Yeah.
We also next week have Benjamin Wadsworth, who's awesome. The main actor on it, and the week after that we have Tom Stevens, who plays F-U-C-K face on the show.
Such a good
I
name.
Love
packed
it.
Full of
I
guests every
That's
week,
amazing.
So if you like this show, join me on that show. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.